Welcome back. This is episode 518 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. And look what I found. Another surprise for everybody after last week. My co-host, Sem, is here today.
What is happening?
This is your once a month visit to the NYYST podcast here. So you made your quota for March. We'll see you sometime in April. Okay.
Sometime in April.
Actually,
nothing happened today. It was nice.
Well, you know what? As you listen to this on Monday morning, we'll be just two small days away from opening day, so we'll have a lot more to talk about. A lot of games will be the games will be started, so you know you'll be popping up more often, I would presume.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, that's not up
I'm,
to you.
Well, it's not up to me. Sometimes it's up to my wife and how much she likes to work.
Well, it's not up to me either, man. You know, sometimes these things are out of our control. You know,
get
sometimes
stuck
one day you're
babysitting.
Here and one day you're not.
That's it. Here today, babysitting tomorrow.
Is it really babysitting if they're your own children? Isn't just responsibility that you have as a father?
If you don't like them,
Well,
technically,
who told you to make more of them?
No one ever said I make good decisions in my life.
This is very true. I mean, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be here talking to anybody right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's very,
how
very
poor
true.
Your decisions have been, even at a small, tender age there.
I know.
But we are sitting here recording. It's almost 5:30 on Sunday evening. The Yankees are just about wrapped up here, what the roster is going to look like, and getting ready to head over to San Francisco for opening day on Wednesday night. We got a bunch to talk about here, but before we do that, make sure you are subscribed to the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. This is the final season of NYYST, so don't miss any new episodes as the season goes on here. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review. There's nothing more we'd love than to get a little bit of love on the way out here in 2026. And as some of you may know, my new show on NYY Underground officially kicked off this past Thursday. The Bronx are nowhere, so subscribe to NYY Underground so you don't miss any new episodes there or whatever is happening over at the U. My limited run Rocky podcast, The Thrill of the Fight, has concluded. The final episode, episode 10, dropped this past Wednesday. So if you want to check out anything that I've done over the last 10 weeks there with that, make sure you just click subscribe and scroll. You'll find it. Okay. It's pretty damn easy. Even Jason can find it.
Probably.
I don't know,
And I'm
maybe.
my computer illiterate.
Are you computer illiterate?
I hate computers.
Do you think
I'm
that they're
very.
gonna up are you think they're gonna uprise against us one day?
No, I'm very just. I get frustrated with technology. I've become an old man already. I'm in my old man phase. I get mad and I hand it off to somebody.
I definitely think that within the next 5 to 10 years, we will have to fight robots. They will come alive.
As long as the robots call pitches and strikes the right way, I'm cool with the robots.
Okay. I don't know if anybody in North Jersey yet knows what Tally is, but Tally is a robot that they use at ShopRite to check stock, and Tally is fully aware of where you are at all times.
Is that
And
thing that drives up and down the aisles?
You can't miss it. It's a robot.
Yeah, but it's a circular thing. It's got like a post. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, and eventually that'll be where the uprising starts.
John Connor shit.
Yeah, so just be aware. Just be aware of things. I mean, Tally is fully operational. Like, Tally knows where you are. Tally will get in your way no matter what you're trying to do. It always gets it. You didn't think you were going to go food shopping and have to fight robots, but you do. So that's just like a precursor of what's to come. Like, if you saw the Terminator, that's not too far off in the distant future here. Just who's going to lead the resistance?
Mate.
You are? You don't even
Yeah.
want to get out of bed. You're going to lead the resistance against
Well, I'm going back to work tomorrow, so I am getting out of bed.
Okay. Is that why you've been cranky lately?
No, I was cranky because I had some weird illness, and then a week later, not even, I end up with a stomach bug.
Okay, so weird illness, robots. That's where we're at.
Listen, if the shit pops off, you come to my house. I'll John Connor that shit. ShopRite's the new Cyberdyne systems. We're taking them down. No,
All right.
was it? Was it the T-800?
No,
I start.
T1000.
No, that's
That
the
was Robert
T-1000's
Patrick.
that's the liquid one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Was he
and
was
he's
because
the
he was the bad guy.
T-800.
I think people don't realize he was the bad guy in the first movie.
Yes, he was. And I don't know. I'm not really big into the first one because that's way before my time. I think Judgment Day might have been, what was that, early 90s?
Yeah, like 90, 91, somewhere in there.
I'm a big Terminator guy. I should do a Terminator podcast. I could talk
You
about this stuff
could. There's,
forever.
I mean, there's like 40 movies, and I've pretty much only seen two of them. Three.
As long
I
as you've
saw.
seen Judgment Day, you're good.
I mean, yes. Judgment Day, and then there's the one with the third one, which wasn't bad. A lot of people shit on it. It was actually not bad. And then you got that weird one with Christian Bale.
That one was ass. Is
And
that the
then
one?
the
That was the one where he was screaming on the when they
yeah.
posted the video. I was like, "Oh, what are you doing?"
And then apparently Arnold came back for two more, but I don't think I've ever seen them. And I heard one of them was like really, really bad.
There's Genesis. I believe that's the one that has Khaleesi in it, the girl from whatever hell her name is from Game of Thrones, the British chick.
Yeah, I know
And
who
there
she
is,
is.
yeah, there's a couple. They weren't bad. They're not James Cameron made, so they're just not like the
Yeah,
greatest thing in the
I'll be
world.
forward. I'll look. I'm looking forward to your Terminator podcast.
I should do it. I'm gonna
Do
do
it.
it.
Do it. Okay. Do it. Oh,
Just
the Yankees.
do it.
Do it.
Do
You
it
know, the Yankees.
now. Do it. Do it now. Kill me.
Well, if we're
I'm
talking
not,
about.
yeah.
We're talking about action icons. We mentioned Rocky, obviously, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold. We got to say RIP to Chuck Norris.
I saw RIP Chuck Norris. I saw a lot of funny Chuck Norris memes over the weekend.
Chuck Norris didn't die. He just completed life. So rest in peace,
Yeah,
Chuck Norris.
well, I saw one. I said he did. What was it? It was like Chuck Norris doesn't call 911. 911 calls him or something like that. I was
Well,
cracking up.
he played into it. He said I read a quote from him. He said,
The
I don't age. I
Cobra.
just, I, he says, I don't age. I just level up.
Oh, did you see the one where they ask him, like, is it true Chuck Norris got bit by a king cobra? And they pan to him. He goes, it is true. And after 5 days in agonizing pain, the cobra finally died.
Chuck Norris was a legend, man. I mean, if you didn't know,
He was.
if you're listening to this, I mean, I'm assuming everybody knows Chuck Norris. I can't name anything that I've ever really seen Chuck Norris in. I know he was in the Expendables, one of them, and he had a brief cameo. Obviously, what was that Karate Kid ripoff movie?
Oh,
You
I
know
don't.
what I'm
I know you're
talking.
talking.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember. Not Surf Ninjas.
No, it's not Surf Ninjas. I want to say it's called Sidekicks, maybe.
There were so many that came out when we were kids, and it's like hard to.
But I remember watching him in that. Obviously, he's got a thousand of these action flicks, and but everybody just remembers him for like the pop culture icon that he was. And you know,
Yeah.
obvious 86 years old, man. It's we're losing a lot of legends now. So
Yeah.
R.I.P. Chuck Norris.
Yeah. He was like a very like Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris era there was at that time, and Chuck Norris is still awesome. Steven Seagal is like a fat, lazy guy. Chuck Norris, I think they were posted a video at 86 sparring with somebody a month ago. How wild is that? 38 and I want to do shit.
Well, you're not Chuck Norris.
I clearly.
But yeah, so let's get on to some baseball over here. The New York Yankees like we said, are getting ready to start the season in just a couple of days, opening night. It'll be Wednesday in San Francisco. Got a premier pitching matchup to start off the season with Max Fried against Logan Webb. We pretty much know what the team is going to look like right now, as I guess the Look, I didn't get upset over it. I know you got upset over it. You flipped out about it, and you know, I get people that did, but I didn't. I was expecting this for a while now. It was just when were the Yankees going to make it official? Is that Jason Dominguez was officially optioned to AAA on Saturday, and he played today in the spring training game against the Phillies, and he dropped a fly ball. And all the comments under the video were like, Well, that's why Jason Dominguez is in AAA. Well, no, let's be realistic here about why Jason Dominguez is in AAA. Jason Dominguez is in AAA because the Yankees brought back Trent Grisham and they don't see a lane for him to play 4 days a week or 5 days a week. They are telling you he needs to go down to AAA to play every day. Look, I think the Yankees can easily find at bats for Jason Dominguez at the major league level. I don't think that's a hard thing for them to do. They've already come out and told you that they can, or they're not going to play Giancarlo Stanton more than 3 games in a row. So if you do the math on that, that's, easily 2 games a week right there. Again, like I said numerous times here, I'm not committed to Trent Grisham. They obviously are. You could sit Trent Grisham 1 day a week, get Jason Dominguez another day, and then, find another day. Just figure it out here. Because think about it like this: are the Yankees a better team with Randall Grichuk on the bench or playing Jason Dominguez 3 times a week? Where are they? How are the Yankees a better team? Randall Grichuk was brought here to hit lefties, except for that he didn't hit lefties last year. And you think Jason Dominguez is bad defensively? Wait till you get a load of Randall Grichuk in left field. So, I mean, it is what it is at this point. It's just that we're looking at now what the future of Jason Dominguez is going to be. And I don't know. I can't confidently sit here and tell you what it's going to be. It's just that I don't like the path that the Yankees have gone down here with Jason Dominguez. Is that he was up here all year last year. He contributed to the team. His numbers are probably better than people give him credit for. He obviously needs to work on his defense in left field. He obviously needs to work on playing or batting right-handed. But again, this is, people said, well, what is Trent Grisham? How is that going to affect the team? Well, this is a casualty of signing Trent Grisham back. This is absolutely a casualty because if Jason Dominguez, I mean, if Trent Grisham is not here, Jason Dominguez is on this 26-man roster to open up the season. There's just no doubt about it. And then you take a look at what his future holds. Okay, do we all expect Giancarlo Stanton to be healthy all year long? I mean, as much as I would love to say yes, I don't think any of us do. Who's getting the first call? Yankees need a shot of life. Who's getting the first call if you need to bring up an outfielder? Are they bringing up Jason Dominguez or are they bringing up Spencer Jones? Because people got to understand this as well. Spencer Jones is going to turn 25 years old. It's time the Yankees have to make a decision about Spencer Jones. So what's it going to be? So this is very disheartening if you're a fan of Jason Dominguez that he's starting the season in AAA, but that's where the Yankees are. That's what the decision that they've made. Again, I know a lot of fans on social media, yourself included, were very upset when you saw this. It's just something I've conditioned myself to for weeks now. You listen to the YPM. If you watched any spring training baseball, they conditioned you for this. They had John Heyman condition you for this on social media. The moment that Randall Grichuk was signed, they conditioned you for this. They just made it official the other day. So, do I like the decision? No, I think it sucks. I think it sucks for Jason Dominguez, the baseball player, and I think it sucks for the New York Yankees, the baseball team. But am I sitting here experiencing any outward anger towards it? No, because, like I said, they conditioned me for this. They did it. And now, where do we go from here? Well, hopefully, Jason Dominguez goes down to AAA and continues to hit the baseball, has a hot start to the season because he did hit really well in spring training. Again, obviously his defense needs work, but he forces the Yankees' hand here. But as we look at this team, if they're telling you now to start the season, they don't think they have a lane for him to play 4 times a week. You go down a month here, how are they going to have a lane for him to play 4 times a week? It's not going to open unless somebody gets hurt. And we both know, everybody listening to me knows right now, that the Yankees are going to force feed us Trent Grisham, whether he's good, bad, or indifferent, because they have to justify the $22 million. So again, when people tell you that signing Trent Grisham back doesn't have any ripple effect, has no negative bearing on the team, well, go tell that to Jason Dominguez right now.
Have you looked? I know you're not big into spring training stats, but have you looked at the stats and compared the two of them?
Yeah, I did. I noticed that last week, Trent Grisham's OPS for spring was under 380. It might have went up a little bit this
I mean,
week.
I'm looking at it right now. So Jason Dominguez at bats in 45 at bats, he's 333 average, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, stolen base, and OPS of basically 1.002, right? So then, just to pull up, fucking Ron Jeremy Light over here. He's 20-39 at bats, so we're 3 at bats different. His average is 179, 0 home runs, 3 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, and he's got a 509 OPS.
Oh,
The
so he got
guy's
a little bit
ass.
hot this past week.
He's been like, it
Yeah, but
doesn't make
if you're
sense.
no, it, listen, you're looking at this as if this was like some sort of competition when it never was.
Well, no. I mean, listen, it's bullshit. The Yankee hype train sits there, and it's all about the Martian, the Martian, the Martian. This guy's been yo-yoed up and down, up and down, up and down. Am I surprised when you texted me yesterday and said, "Hey, Jason Dominguez is sent down"? No, because we've been expecting it for the past month. We all knew it was going to happen. You know, he was having issues playing winter ball. He got hot towards the end of it. You know, that was a good thing. You know, all right, awesome. Continue to have a pretty good spring training, but it's just the fact that I would rather see Jason Dominguez in there and let him absolutely suck for the entire season, like I've been forced to watch Anthony Volpe. And the Trent Grisham thing is this is just they're pouring salt on the wound because nobody's lining up to come see Trent Grisham. People lined up to see the Martian. We want to see him play. It's just not what the Yankees fans want. I don't understand. No one's gonna listen. If Trent Grisham has the same season this year that he had last year, or even like sniffs that, I'll eat the fucking hat that's on my head right now because it's not going to happen. Last year was a fluke. Trent Grisham knows it was a fluke. That's why he took that money because nobody was going to offer him over 20, what was it, $22 million, whatever it was he got out of 20 million. I guess maybe he was probably looking at what they offer him, $10-12 million a year, and it was going to take him 3-4 years to make what he was going to make in 1 year on the Yankees. So he like, oh, I'll take it, because everybody knows that that was like Trent Grisham's career year. Now, hopefully, I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I think everybody and their mother wants me to be wrong. But you do not sit there and tell me we have the next coming of the Messiah, okay? Mickey Mantle Jr. over here coming up, and we're going to see greatness. Aaron Judge is going to suck compared to this guy. He's a five-tool player. And then we never get to watch him play consistently. We have 1 year where he's not hurt, and all he was done was he was benched most of last season, or he would play for three fucking innings, and then like, okay, we got to sit him. We got to put this guy in. Meanwhile, we had to watch Verdog shit suck all the season before that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, whose wife did he bang? Who did he piss off in the Yankees organization? I don't understand it. It's never going to make sense to me. I know why they did it. It's still stupid to me. I don't care. Cut your losses with fucking Trent Grisham. Send him away. They made a mistake and they just don't want to end up with egg on their face. So what did they do? They sent Dominguez down. I'm infuriated by it. It's not in the spirit of baseball to me. I think what they're doing to these young players is absolutely disgusting. This is the type of things that are going to be brought up as an example in contract negotiations this coming year. Because look, you're ruining these guys' careers. These are the things that you don't want to see happen in baseball. It's just screwing things up. It's a travesty. I want to watch the kid play. Don't want to see Ron Jeremy Light out there with his 1980s porn stash. You know, it's just annoying. It annoys me. I'm a very emotional person, if you can't tell.
Very emotional here. It sucks for it does sucks for
Emotional.
Jason Dominguez, but like we said, man, this is what the Yankees are doing to justify that $22 million. They're telling you that this kid needs to play every day, and he does. I not in disagreement with that, but I think that he could serve a purpose and still mature as a player playing 4 times a week at the big league level. And like we said, we already know there's 2 built-in days for Jason Dominguez, because Giancarlo Stanton is not going to play more than 3 games in a row. So you already have 2 built-in days for Jason Dominguez to play. But obviously, they're going to have that outfield set in stone pretty much every single day, unless there is a really tough lefty that they want to give Trent Grisham a rest against. And unfortunately, because they believe in Trent, and really Jason Dominguez has not shown that he can hit left-handed pitching, that they'd rather give that start to Randal Grichuk once a week or however often it's going to be. So he's just going to have to go down there, he being Jason Dominguez, and can enforce the Yankees' hand. But again, if, say, Stanton goes on the IL, I don't want to say when because I love G, but when it does happen and they want to bring in some offense, if, let's say Jones and Dominguez are having similar type years with the bat, they're both considered, can, in the Yankees world, they're both left-handed hitters, right? So then you look at it, who would you trust more in the outfield? And the Yankees are going to tell you 100% that they trust Spencer Jones more in the outfield. So does that mean now that Spencer Jones is getting the call over Jason Dominguez? Because you would be led to believe, because Dominguez was here last year and that he was one of the last cuts, that he'd be the first one up. But I would not bet on that. I would not guarantee that being the case of Jason Dominguez being the first one up if, say, G goes on the IL or something happens to one of the outfielders, that it's not going to be one that it would be Dominguez be the first one up. And that's okay. So if it there, and we lost Sim, we'll get him back here hopefully soon. But if you lose Jason Dominguez, I mean, if you get Jason Dominguez in a situation where he's now competing with Spencer Jones for the spot, I think Spencer Jones is going to win it out. That's what's going to happen here. If you're in a situation where the Yankees need an outfielder and they don't want, and they want somebody that can produce offensively at the big league level because you have a long-term situation that you're dealing with, and both guys are pretty comparable to each other in the minor leagues, Spencer Jones is going to get that call for numerous reason number one, he does play better defense. And reason number two, the Yankees need an answer on him. At 25 years old, you need an answer on Spencer Jones and what you're going to do with him. So there, I think that Spencer Jones is going to be the first guy called up, and it's going to take two injuries to get Jason Dominguez up here. Because it doesn't really matter what Randal Grichuk does. It doesn't. I mean, you'll have fans that say, oh, Grichuk will suck, and you can just DFA him and call up Jason Dominguez. Well, why don't they just have Jason Dominguez on the bench right now? It's obviously not what they want to do with him. So he's going to go down there, and he's really going to compete to be the first guy called up with Spencer Jones. And if he doesn't flat out beat him, he's going to be in the back of the line here, because the Yankees are going to tell you, oh, we value run prevention. Or they're going to have internal conversations about what is Spencer Jones. And that is honestly, like, to be fair about things, that is an answer they have to, that's a question they need an answer to. They need to know what Spencer Jones is. They need to know if this guy can come up here and hit at the major league level. They need to see that. And this has to be the year for it. So this is worse for Jason Dominguez than people might even think, because I don't think he's going to be the first guy called up.
I mean, it depends on who gets hurt. If the third baseman gets called up, they'll probably call up,
Now, obviously, we're
because
talking
they w
about outfielders or if it's
no, no,
or.
because they love to play people out of position. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why would they, that's how it's going to happen. I'm being a wise ass. It's just I would love to see Spencer Jones, and it's like you've been hearing about we've been hearing about Dominguez so much, and everybody just focuses on him, myself included. You don't realize that. Oh my God, like I'm blanking right now. What the fuck's his name? The big tall guy that you're just talking about. Spencer Jones. Oh my God. How you call it? You forget Spencer Jones is older than him, and you don't realize, Dominguez is only gonna be, 23 and stuff like that. So I think you're very right. And I haven't thought about it that way, that this really probably is, a much worse situation for Dominguez, and we might not maybe won't even see him this year. Because what Jones plays right field. Can he play left field? Can he
Really
play
can play
center?
center field. He's a good center fielder.
So Trent
And
Grisham goes down.
in Yankee Stadium, you want somebody with center field skills really playing left field,
Yes.
which is weird because Jason Dominguez is a natural center fielder,
Center
and
fielder.
it's just been a really shitty situation for him because if he doesn't need Tommy John surgery when he gets called up in 2023, what does his career really look like here?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Because it's not, they don't get Juan Soto, they don't get Alex Verdugo if he's healthy going into 2024. And then does he prove what the Yankees need him to prove in 2024?
It does. It sucks because he can't. How exciting was it though when he came up? You know, that's kind of what makes everybody so passionate about it. Like his first at bat, he cracks the friggin' ball. You know what I'm saying? And that was like, oh my God, this is it. The Martian has landed. And everybody's about it and they want to see it. And that was such an awesome start. It also got Judge, you know, everyone on the Judge train, you know, but like here it is again. Oh, we got another guy doing it. And he was just hitting rockets and then he gets hurt. And it's the what if, and then he's playing Triple A and he gets hurt again and he never makes it back. And then he comes back and it's like, oh, he's not going to play this. He's going to play left field. And you're like, why? We just watched this with Gleyber Torres. Why are we doing this again? You know, then they force it with Jazz Chisholm. There's so many what ifs. Like, what if they just put Dominguez in center field? What would happen then? I had a, I don't remember the player. I had text you, when it was going on, but there was such a good interview the one time, and they were, it's, you know, I'd never played baseball on a competitive level like that. And they talk about when you're playing in a big stadium like that, Yankee Stadium, how you watch the ball come off the bat differently and how things change from center field to left field and all that, and how it's harder to see. But, you know, the guy's not getting his reps there because we say he played this many games, he played this many games, but they're like half games. He would never, I don't recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you really remember Dominguez finishing a game? Or
I'm
is he
sure
always yanked by the seventh?
it happened at some point, but yes, that was the Yankees' MO, is that they would look to get him out of the games, especially late with leads, because they didn't trust his defense. So, I mean, the book is basically, I don't want to say that it's being published right now, but the book is written for sure on Jason Dominguez and what the Yankees think of him. And it's sad to see this based on what we've been hearing about Jason Dominguez for 6 or 7 years now at this point. I mean, he's going to be 23 years old. We've been hearing about him since he was 16 years old. He's the guy that we were being told, you know, being compared to, like, in Yankee lore, Mickey Mantle. And now he's 23 years old, starting the season in the minor leagues, where if you legitimately look at it and sit there and take the blinders off and say to yourself, how does he get back up here? You have to lose two outfielders, and I'm including Giancarlo Stanton into that mix. You have to lose two of your starting four outfielders. I mean, how else? Unless Spencer Jones is in AAA and he's hitting like .150, and Dominguez is hitting, you know, .290, then yeah, he's going to get the call. But if they're both even, Spencer Jones is getting that call. So it sucks. It does. It sucks for Jason Dominguez, man. And hopefully, you know, I don't know. I really don't even know at this point what to say. Like, I honestly, now at this point, I don't want to see Jason Dominguez because I don't want anybody to warrant. I don't want a situation to arise where you'd want to see Jason Dominguez. You understand what I'm saying?
No, because that means that people got hurt and we're up Schitt's Creek.
Or underperforming.
Yeah. Well, so I listen, I'm not, I don't want to, you know, knock on wood something around me. But you know, like it really does happen every year. People get hurt and I expect to see him. I mean, I want to see Spencer Jones because I would like to see him play a major league game and see what happens. You know. Because, like, as much as I don't think that Dominguez has been given a fair shot, I don't think that Jones has been given a shot. Has he cut down on his strikeouts? Like, I don't follow minor league baseball the way you do. It's too much. But I
No,
think
that's something he
he was
definitely needs
striking
to.
out like amazingly,
Yes, I
like.
mean, the one game that he played that I watched earlier this year, you saw what Spencer Jones is that he hit that massive tape measure home run and he struck out in his next two at bats. So, I mean, the guy that Spencer Jones is, and the Yankees, but still, the Yankees need that answer on him. So that's why I believe that if he's having a good start to his season and the Yankees need to go get somebody to play outfield, they're going to choose him.
Yeah, because the Yankees are pretty much home run or bust. That's kind of how they're built, I feel, you know. So I think he'll fit more into their general plan and what they try to,
And if
you
they're
know,
preaching, and
market.
what they love to do is preach run prevention, obviously, based on what we have seen so far, is that Spencer Jones would has a definitive advantage over Jason Dominguez there. But we also got some news today about what the rotation is going to look like to start the season. The Yankees don't need a fifth starter for a couple of weeks here because of the off days that are in the schedule right now. And it's being reported that the Yankees are going to begin the season here with a four-man rotation of Max Fried, Cam Schlittler, Will Warren, and Ryan Weathers in that order. And it does look like Luis Gil is the odd man out, and Luis Gil will be possibly fighting for a roster spot, whether or not the Yankees choose to keep him around until they need the until they need him to make a start. So, I mean, if you thought about this even a couple of years ago, that the Yankees are starting the 2026 season with Luis Gil and Jason Dominguez in the minor leagues, you wouldn't think that was possible. But that's a likely possibility. That's a likely scenario right now, because there's really no need to keep Luis Gil on the roster, especially when he has a minor league option remaining. If he's not going to make a start for a couple of weeks, you can just deepen the bullpen. So the problem with Luis Gil has always been two things. Luis Gil has had these two issues his entire career here, dating all the way back to 2021. This is where I got into argument with fans last year when they were telling me he was the rookie of the year. But you guys don't remember that he actually made his debut in 2021. So we've been seeing Luis Gil for 4 years now, and it really has not changed at all. Luis Gil is a guy that can't stay healthy. He's not
Healthy.
proven to be a reliable starter in the sense that he cannot
No
stay healthy
strikes.
and he does not throw enough strikes. Luis Gil has shown that he cannot master those two things. So until Luis Gil can show you that he can master those two things, he is going to be a guy that you cannot rely on long term here. And would I have liked the Yankees to trade Luis Gil in the offseason? Yeah, I would have liked the Yankees to trade Luis Gil in the offseason because to me, I've seen the peak of Luis Gil. I saw it in 2024. And then he came back and he got hurt. And his fastball velocity is down in spring. So is that something we can be worried about? I don't know, because again, I generally don't put too much stock in these sorts of things for guys, especially when they're ramping up and getting ready for a season. But when you look at a guy like Luis Gil, is that a precursor to another injury? It's hard to say that. And I don't want to be negative on Luis Gil because he's got the stuff to be a top of the rotation starter. He's got the type of stuff that you dream about sometimes for a top of the rotation starter. It's reliability for him and the ability to throw strikes. So the Yankees did make the right decision here to leave him as the odd man out. Now people look at Ryan Weathers' ERA and it's near 12 in spring training. Again, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Aaron Boone, but the health and stuff are there, and they're not worried about the results because the Yankees are also experimenting a lot with Ryan Weathers after the trade and trying some new things with him. So maybe he's working on things and the results aren't what they're looking at. It's more about, like Boone said, health and stuff. And if that's there, then that's all you need to worry about. And again, we just talked about this with Trent Grisham. The Yankees need to validate what they did in the offseason. And Ryan Weathers is the only, quote, major acquisition that the Yankees have made from outside the organization. They're going to use him. They're not going to send him down to Triple A, even though he does have an option remaining, or they're not going to keep him in the bullpen. They want to be right about this because Ryan Weathers does have the stuff to be that guy. Again, it's all about health with him. And people that follow these things are telling us that he had the same whatever charts, graphs, outputs, stuff, whatever the frig that Tarek Skubal had last year, before the year before Skubal broke out and became Tarek Skubal. So that's another thing. Do the Yankees think they have a new Tarek Skubal on their hands? Well, they're going to surely find out. I don't necessarily have a problem with Luis Gil as the odd man out here. It's just that, again, this is a guy that possibly could have been traded last year for something that you needed. You held on to him, and have the Yankee. It's called quiet quitting. Have the Yankees quiet quit now? Like, it's not so quiet with Jason Dominguez because they've spent. They'll tell anybody that'll listen that they don't like Jason Dominguez, but are they quiet quitting now on Luis Gil here? Because, okay, we don't need a fifth starter until August 11th. Another week later, another 10 days later, they're expecting Carlos Rodon back. Does Ryan Yarbrough now take those starts just to plug until Carlos Rodon is back?
I mean, do you feel I feel like the whole Luis Gil thing has like Severino vibes all over it. Like Sevy was nasty. Sevy would get hurt. And then when Sevy lost the strike zone, you were biting your nails because you're like, what's gonna happen? And I feel that.
Severino never had the issues with throwing strikes that Gil has, but you're absolutely right. Is that the thing that kept Luis Severino from being an ace and caused, really more than anything, caused the Yankees to go out and spend $325 million on Gerrit Cole, is because he can't stay healthy.
He can't stay healthy, but no, I feel that Severino wouldn't implode though. I think he still does it. I think he just did in the World Baseball Classic. I think that
Well,
Severino, when he
he
gets in
busted.
trouble,
I mean, he busted his nut in that game. We all saw that happen.
but no, it's just reminiscent to that. Like, you know, it brings me back, and I feel like it's the same thing because I like watching Luis Gil play. I think he's electric when he's on, but then when he starts losing it too, he's off. And then you're like, you start getting antsy, and you're like, oh my God. I don't know. Like, you know, if you at last year, everyone's like, you know, you were going to trade him for Kyle Tucker. Hell no. The hell, I ain't traded him for nobody. Luis Gil is going to be amazing. And then you're like, get into last year, like, shit. You know, and again, it's a guy that had so much upside, and now you're sitting here talking about will he even be on the team? We wish that we traded him. It sucks. It's, you know.
So look at it like this. You have long-term contracts still to pay out with Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, and Carlos Rodon. You have Ryan Weathers as like this X-factor weapon that the Yankees are hoping to develop into the next Tarek Skubal. You have Cam Schlittler, who we've already seen have a dominant postseason start and have another really good one against Toronto and has the look and makeup to be the future ace of this franchise, okay? You have Will Warren, who, like it or not, had a really strong spring with an ERA under two. They revamped where he throws. Now he's throwing on the third base side of the rubber. He's a guy I always liked. Again, not as a top of the rotation guy, but a guy that can fill innings in the back end of this rotation. You can do a lot worse than Will Warren. You have Elmer Rodriguez knocking at the door. People thought that Carlos DeGrande should have made this team. Tell me where Luis Gil fits in.
Trade him to the Mets. They like all their leftover. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm 100% there with you. And he's a guy that's been given his opportunities to prove himself, and he's fallen short. And again, injury prone. Out of all that, the injury prone thing is simply the problem, because how long is it before he has another? It's like his lat's hurting him. He's got a barking back. Always, you know, it really does seem like it's
He
always
missed
something with
almost
him.
2 years with Tommy John surgery. I mean, it is what it is. And Clark, let's not forget about Clark Schmidt, who is hanging around here. He'll be under team control in 2027 as well. That's another guy that could take a rotation spot or possibly be used as a trade piece. The Yankees have a lot of starting pitching. A lot of it has question marks, but they also have a lot of it. So where does Luis Gil fit into all this? And right now, it does look like if you're looking at everybody we just mentioned, the guy the Yankees want the least to do with is Luis Gil.
Agreed. I think their best bet realistically,
You try to showcase him, try to make it look like he's better than he is, get him in some easy positions, and then trade him off when he still has a little bit of value. I mean, like, the real is like, he doesn't do it for me anymore. It's
But
not somebody, he's not like the year he knight in shining armor that he was when he first came up.
if you're a Luis Gil fan and you're saying to yourself, oh, well, I can, just miss like the first two or three turns through the rotation and then it'll insert him in. Well, what if it's one start before Carlos Rodon gets back and the Yankees, like I said earlier, are just like, let's have Ryan Yarbrough make that start and then we'll just put Rodon in when he's ready. And then another couple of weeks later, Gerrit Cole's coming back. Where does Luis Gil actually fit into all this?
Because I'm giving it to Yarbrough over Heel because Yarbrough was an absolute workhorse for us last year and did what he had to do and when he had to do it.
The Yankees don't some well with Jason Dominguez, they will come out and tell, but a lot of times the Yankees don't come out and outwardly tell you what they think of somebody. Their actions will tell you what they think of somebody. And the fact that Ryan Weathers statistically had a worse spring than Luis Gil did and has an option and can pitch out of the bullpen, and they chose him over Luis Gil, and then you look at the timetable of when you'd need that starter to compare to when Carlos Rodon will be back, and is it worth bringing up Luis Gil and burning through that option for one or two starts when you know Ryan Yarbrough can make them? I mean, we're honestly, it is a weird situation to be looking at this team in 2026 with Luis Gil in the minor league. It's not official yet. The Yankees may keep him up here for emergency situation or whatever. But it's definitely possible they don't need, I mean, if he's just going to sit around for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or whatever it is, not pitching, what's, I mean, obviously you're going to want that spot for somebody in the bullpen or with him in AAA, Jason Dominguez in AAA, Spencer Jones in AAA, because I don't think anybody thought at age 25 Spencer Jones, from what we heard about him, was still going to be in AAA. I mean, it's pretty wild to sit there and look at it. And I
The
think
Rail
Lou,
Rider ticket sales are probably up.
and if you think about, like, people, oh, he won the Rookie of the Year in 2024. Okay, he did do that, but I mean, he wasn't great down the stretch. Again, coming back of basically being missing two full years of baseball with the Tommy John surgery. Okay, and he, I think the Yankees did overextend him. He did fade down the stretch there. There was that whole back issue, which was really the Yankees covering up the fatigue that he was experiencing, or maybe the back issue was led by the fatigue. Definitely no, we all saw it happen that he got tired down the stretch. And it was a weak year for rookies. It really was. So it's not like he beat out Aaron Judge and or Shohei Ohtani like they weren't rookies that year, you know?
Yeah.
Or Bobby Wood Jr. and Gunnar Henderson. It's not like he beat out those guys. Or Paul, it's not like he went up against Paul Skeens for Rookie of the Year. I mean, these are all facts here. I'm not trying to put down Luis Gil or tell you I'm not going to root for him if he does, if he is making starts for the Yankees this year. I'm just telling you, look at the facts here.
Yeah,
That
who was the runner up for Luis Gil?
it was Colton
Who?
Cowser and Austin Wells.
Oh.
So I mean, take a look at it, guys.
Austin Wells. It's another name I don't want to hear.
Well, you're going to hear a lot of it because he's going to
I
be the
know.
starting catcher for the
J.C.
team.
Ascaro, that's a name I you cannot tell me like listen, when you say that a lot, I say it a lot. There's no way in hell that I thought that Trent Grisham would be on this team, Paul Goldschmidt would be on this team, Jason Dominguez would be in AAA. I'm not going to bring up Spencer Jones. Possibly Luis Gil and J.C. Ascaro was still going to be on the freaking team this year. Like I never in my wildest dreams, fucking Uber driver.
Well, I didn't think JC Ascara wasn't going to be here, not because of talent. I think that there is value for JC Ascara as a backup catcher. I think other teams have expressed their desire for him as a backup catcher. I just thought the Yankees would have woken up and said, maybe we don't need three left-handed catchers on this roster because I include Ben Rice in that mix.
Yes.
But they decided that, right-handed catcher be damned. So.
Yes. It's
Just weird, it's just weird roster construction is what it is.
screwed the pooch when we traded the guy to Boston. I can't remember his, I never remember his name.
Oh, they got Elmer Rodriguez for him. You might be thinking differently of it.
I guess, yes.
So, Carlos Narvaez is who you're thinking of.
Got it, yes.
And
I don't know.
they got a really good reliever in for Jose Trevino. I mean, you look at Fernando Cruz. I mean, before Bednar got here, I'd say he was probably the most trusted reliever Aaron Boone had. Him and Timmy Hill.
Why am I blanking on Fernando Cruz? Oh, okay, yes. He was like a second baseman. I read up all about the whole thing about him. I didn't. That was wild. He like flunked out of the MLB and went to like the Mexican League and then became a pitcher. Don't know.
So
It's like
we kind of know what the roster looks like here as we're gonna hit up San Francisco in a couple of days. It's just, some bullpen pieces here or there, and whether or not Luis Gil does make the team. But the team going into San Francisco is pretty much set. The bench is gonna be Paul Goldschmidt, JC Escarra, Ahmed Rosario, and Randall Grichuk. Your starting nine are gonna be Austin Wells, Ben Rice, Jazz Chisholm, Jose Caballero, Ryan McMahon, and then going left to right is Bellinger, Grisham, Judge, and Stanton at the DH. Your starting pitchers to start the season are going to be Max Fried, Cam Schwitler, Will Warren, and Ryan Weathers. That's the team. This is your team. The top of your bullpen is going to be Bednar, Duvall, Hill, and Cruz. That's the top of your bullpen there. So, I mean, you pretty much know what the Yankees are going into the season here. It's just, like we said, little bullpen here, a little bullpen there, what they do with Luis Gil. The team is set. All the major decisions have been made. Nothing is really that surprising to me. There's no major shocking thing that has happened. I mean, we already covered what happened with Jason Dominguez. Obviously, like, we kind of conditioned ourselves for that, but if you look, like you said, when the season ended last year, if I would have thought that would have been the case, I would have never thought that would have been the case. But obviously, that the writing's been on the wall for a few weeks now here. There's nothing shocking or major that's happening. This is the team. This is the team that's going to start the season here, and this is the team that is going to be tasked with getting off to a quick start here. You don't want to fall behind early in the American League East, and the schedule is not, it's not going to be a cakewalk schedule here either for the Yankees. I mean, you look at how they start the season here, and you look at it, it's going to be San Francisco, Seattle. So, I mean, San Francisco, you're automatically starting off with one of the best in the game against Logan Webb, against a team that should be improved from last year. And then Seattle, a team that was in the ALCS. Miami and the Athletics both could be sneaky this year. And then you got the Rays, the Angels, Kansas City against should be pretty good. And then Boston and Houston on your second road trip. Well, there's that stupid little three-game road trip with Tampa in there. But then your second real full road trip of the season: Boston, Houston, Texas, Baltimore, Texas, Milwaukee, Baltimore, Mets, Toronto, Tampa Bay, KC. I mean, it doesn't really let up for the first 2 months of the season here. The Yankees have to get off to a hot start. It's imperative. And they don't want to be floundering around 500 come Memorial Day. I truly do believe the Yankees are going to be a postseason team. I don't think that's a hot take. I know a lot of people disagree with that. I think they are good enough to be a postseason team. But again, what do we all care about around here? What are the Yankees doing in October? What are the Yankees going to do when it comes down into the postseason here? And what are those results going to look like? And that is an answer I can't honestly give you as we sit here and record on March 22nd. I don't know. All I know is that I do feel confident that the Yankees are good enough to get to the dance. How long they'll be dancing, I don't know. It's a lot of different things, man. If Gerrit Cole, and this is another thing I feel very confident about, I don't really know what Gerrit Cole is going to look like in June or July or August. I do b firmly believe in that he was hitting 99 in his start the other day, that this guy is going to be on a vengeance tour in 2026. You know that it was eating at the core of who he is, that Gerrit Cole missed all of 2025, and that this guy is going to be on a vengeance tour in 2026 to not only prove to himself, but prove to Major League Baseball that he is still one of the premier pitchers in this league, and that Gerrit Cole will be Gerrit Cole when the Yankees absolutely need him most in the stretch run in September and in October. And the Yankees spent this offseason proving a belief that they had that they were a Gerrit Cole away from going to the World Series last year because of look at what they did this offseason. So they think that he was the missing piece last year. Well, you know what? I firmly believe that Gerrit Cole is going to do his part in September and October to prove the Yankees correct in that belief. Now, do I think the Yankees need it more than Gerrit Cole? Absolutely. But Gerrit Cole is going to do everything in his power to prove the Yankees right. And we all know the competitor that Gerrit Cole is. And we know that Gerrit Cole, once he steps on the mound in June, is going to be working towards that goal of once again showing everybody in Major League Baseball that he is that guy. And I don't think come September and October, when we talk about things we're worrying about with the Yankees come postseason, is that Gerrit Cole is not going to be on that list. That Gerrit Cole is going to be a guy that we believe in, is going to be the ace of the staff and be one of the reasons why the Yankees get a little bit further than they did in 2025. So I got the utmost confidence in Gerrit Cole going into this season. It might not look pretty early on, but the results will be there when the Yankees absolutely need him to be.
You're here. That's hard to follow up. I mean, like, Cole, come, if we had, could, I'm trying to formulate my brain here without sounding like a jackass. Gerrit Cole was a missing piece last year because if we had Gerrit Cole on the team, do you think we at least had one more win? It never happened that we had the tiebreaker. I absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you this. I can tell you this confidently based on what I saw in the series against Toronto, that the two best, now they got Luis Gil out of there early, but the two best starts by a Yankee against Toronto in that series were Luis Gil. He kept the Yankees in that game through the 2 1/3 or 3 innings that he threw because he was right-handed. You know, Cam Schlittler got an L in that game. I believe, did he get the L? But the Yankees lost that game because they didn't hit. But he gave up 2 runs over 6 1/3 or whatever it was. I mean, you tell me that I'm getting 2 runs over 6 1/3 for my starter in a postseason game. I'll sign for it every time, thinking that I have the offense that can score at least 3 runs in that game. They didn't do it, they lost. So the times that the Yankees got their doors absolutely blown off, and I love Max Fried, were against by left-handed pitchers against Toronto. So now throw a premier right-hander in there against Toronto. Yeah, maybe things are a little bit different. You know, maybe you do pick up a win that you might not have gotten because Allen Winans had to make a start last year. But the Yankees believe that they needed Gerrit Cole for October. And I'm not telling you that it'll be, like I said, I'm not telling you it's going to be pretty early on, but the Gerrit Cole that the Yankees want and need will be there in October. And this fucking guy is throwing 99 already. You know he's chomping at the bit. And, you know, we were talking about this, Chris and I, last week, in that, you know, why you slow playing it? You don't need to rush it. That's why. You don't need to rush it. So let him save those bullets for September and October. You do have enough starting pitching. If Rodon's going to be back late April, you got enough starting pitching. Say what you want about Carlos Rodon. He's a good pitcher. With the offense the Yankees have and their ability to beat up on bad pitching, and even though it does look rough early on, offensively, they should be fine. Offensively, they should be able to score enough runs to win games. You don't need to rush it with Gerrit Cole. So let him take his time. Let him tell you when he feels the most confident to get back on the mound. And we'll go from there. And if you're going to hit a little bit of a wall, let's hit a little bit of a wall in July and August. So he's ready to go in September and October.
Yeah, because you want him to have the gas to make it through October. You don't want to have to rush him back, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's petering out in October. You want him to be fresh. I don't think last year I have trouble like remembering things. It's probably my biggest issue, but I don't really remember too many blowouts where the Yankees just were like knocked out of the game and we had to put in a position player because we got smacked around so bad. I don't think that we were out of every game that we played. There were so many games that we lost that were close. And it really just comes down to our offense didn't produce a lot. And I feel like that's when we lost most of our games. And that was the biggest issue that we've had. And I think it's the biggest issue we've had over the past few seasons. And ultimately, I think that's really the biggest issue I'm afraid of this year. You know, so like I'm not rushing Gerrit Cole back. Am I going to be over the moon and excited when he comes back? Absolutely. Do I envision me and you probably being at his first home game that he's back cheering for him? Absolutely. I can't imagine any reason that we would miss that. Like, we'll probably end up seeing him. You know, I don't. He put. I don't think he'll. You think he'll play in Somerset? I don't know if he'll play in
It all
Somerset.
depends on
Maybe.
when he's ready to go on
You
rehab
know.
and where Somerset is at that time.
But I think me and you kind of follow him around, and I don't think there's maybe people that are more excited to see him take the mound more than us. And it's just slow. Yeah, take it easy. Take your time. I want Cole back at 99%. I don't need Gerrit Cole back to come back at 85%. And then we have an issue where we don't have him in October, or he's struggling through something in October. I don't want that. I want my Gerrit Cole back to where he needs to be. So anybody that's like complaining about slow playing, shut your mouth. It's stupid. The dumb argument, you know, be patient. Oh, but I don't have any reservations about pitching so much this year. It really comes down to, you know, I it's the offense. I'm worried about the offense, and that's what kind of it's always the issue. We don't it's I hate the home run or bust mentality. It's kind of, that's why I said before, I think that Spencer Jones fits more into the Yank what the Yankees want. They want home runs because the fans love home runs.
Well, good news for you is that Anthony Volpe is going to start a rehab assignment in about 2 weeks,
Yay!
and then the clock will be on. The Yankees will have about 30 days to make their decision on what they're going to do with Anthony Volpe. I know a lot of people think that if he spends 11 days or whatever the hell it is in AAA, they can get another year of service time on him. I don't know why, realistically, unless you just can't. And what I mean, you can't get Jose Caballero out. I mean, he's batting 1,000. Okay, that's what I mean when you say you can't get him out. Because the Yankees have not done anything over the last few years here to show you that they'll do anything but put Anthony Volpe at shortstop. So, look, as I
I had a
said,
good conversation at a card show the other day about Anthony Volpe, and I was called out on by the guy, and he said to me, "Who is a good shortstop in the league?" And beside, I was like, "Bobby Witt." He goes, "Yeah," but I'm like, "I get that. I can't always have the best
Gunnar
guy,
Henderson.
Gunnar." Okay, and like, you know, so there's two guys. He goes, "Who do you really? Who's better at that position?" And I'm just, oh, maybe I said, yeah, but everybody's used to Jeter. So you're spoiled. That it becomes an issue, but it's just, I think with Volpe, the whole problem where we get aggravated with him, and you watch the whole thing, and you say like the Yankees just keep putting him out there. It's like some of the sh it's just that's what it is. It's like there's been no, they don't bench him, they don't sit him, they don't play anybody else for him. It doesn't. It just.
Well, there's been no upward mobility in his progression as a Major League Baseball player either, and that's what the problem is. And the Yankees have constantly shoved him down our throats here.
He looks overwhelmed by
There are
major league pitching.
absolutely times where he looks overwhelmed, and we talked about this last week, that we're literally asking Anthony Volpe to be a bad baseball player. Like, if he is just simply bad this year, that's like 2 steps forward for him.
It is.
Because when we discussed him, when we did the projections last week, his number on OPS was 687. Sam, you know this. That's 20 points higher than his career high. And that's still 30 points or 25 points, whatever it is, lower than the league average.
And what's funny is last year it was such a he was the center of a controversy with the torpedo bats because he started off the season so hot and he was one of them, like, oh my God, the Yankees, they're cheating. And then nothing. You know, it's like, okay, obviously the torpedo bats aren't really making much of a difference. Look at this prime example. And everybody shut up. But he started off and we thought that we had it. Oh my God, here's Anthony Volpe. He's going to do it. This is it. This is the year. And then right off a fucking cliff.
I think that I don't look, you're going to be here when you want to be here this year, so you can come on. We're going to discuss a lot of different things, but they're all going to be after games now. So hopefully, it's all on field stuff. The on field stuff is absolutely fair, but this constant conversation about Anthony Volpe needs to stop. When he comes back, it's going to be a story, and it's going to be a story of whether or not he can finally take that step forward. And honestly, if he hits 690, his OPS is 690 this year, which last year league average was around 715. It's still 25 points lower than league average. But the Yankees are going to look at that and say, well, look at the jump that he made this year. And he's coming off a shoulder surgery. But the difference this year compared to years past is that George Lombard, if he has a strong year in the minor leagues offensively, he's already miles ahead of Anthony Volpe defensively. And he's just got to close the gap with the bat. And you're going to say, well, what has Anthony Volpe done with the bat? Anthony Volpe hit a little bit down in the minor leagues. Lombard got called up last year, had a sub 700 OPS in Double A. We watched him at that game, and there was times that he even looked overmatched against Double A pitching. So until he hits there, I can't look at him as a viable option. But if he takes that leap this year and Anthony Volpe doesn't, then the Yankees are going to sit there, and it's like that meme where the guy's holding his girlfriend's hand and he's looking at the other girl. That's how the Yankees are going to be with George Lombard next year. And then if he goes into camp with a legitimate chance to make the team, all bets are off then. If the Yankees are, first of all, the first thing that you need to know about what the Yankees think about Anthony Volpe in 2027 is if it's an open competition. Because then if it is, he's lost status here. And then it's up to George Lombard to show the Yankees what to do here. But my personally, and you can disagree with me, and that's fine. Personally, what I want is Anthony Volpe to erase all doubt in the Yankees' mind of whether or not he can be the 2027 shortstop, meaning that he comes back up from his boo-boo shoulder and he's the guy that everybody's waited for him to be for the last 3 years. And he finally takes that step. He's a year four player now. The kid gloves are off here. It's shit or get off the pot for Anthony Volpe. I'm not using a shoulder as an injury, shoulder injury as an excuse anymore. This is what it is with Anthony Volpe. So if he can't take that next step, we got to figure something else out here. And the Yankees need to figure it out here also before the trade deadline so they can go out there and make a move if necessary. But what do I want? I want the conversation to end. I want them to come up here and have an all-star caliber season and say,
Absolutely.
yeah.
I
I'm
want Trent
tired.
Grisham to have an all-star fucking, I want them all to do it.
There's too many Yankee fans out there that are negative about things and then don't want to look at what does it mean if the opposite outcome happens, that you're wrong, but the Yankees are winning. Well, that's an outcome I always want. I don't think Trent Grisham is going to be very good this year. He hits 35 home runs this year and helps get the Yankees back into the postseason. I'm going to sit here at the end of the season and say, I'm glad to be wrong about that. I'm so happy to be glad to be wrong about that. I personally think that Ben Rice is going to have a 35 home run season this year. Turns out the opposite happens and he hits 18 and the Yankees, are looking for a first baseman at the trade deadline. I'm not going to be too thrilled about that. Whatever helps the Yankees win, that's regardless of what the take I have on it is, that's the outcome that I want.
Yeah, you don't want to see anybody do bad. Like realistically, we talk about this all the time, and I'm very critical of Anthony Volpe. And like I said, I'm a very passionate player, sometimes belligerent. Do I actually want Anthony Volpe to fail? Do I want him to trip? No, I don't. But like, if the guy's not going to get any better, I want the decision to be made and to move on from him. I feel that he gets all this energy put into him, and the Yankees are holding him up on a pedestal, and I think we let things go by, or then the team makes mistakes. But to be proven wrong, and for Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone to be right, it's gonna be a great feeling. I'm not gonna sit there and be like, oh, these fucking assholes ahead. No, man, I want them to prove me wrong. It's because if we're wrong, it means things are going good for the Yankees. I don't hate Anthony Volpe from the perspective or whatever. Like, I hate him as a person or whatever like that. I don't even hate Anthony Volpe. It's just. You get tired of watching shitty play all the time, and the Yankees go along with it, and you watch other players who get like a weak shot, and that's the problem. That's why everyone gets mad at Anthony Volpe, or where I get mad at Anthony Volpe. I feel that he's being treated unfairly compared to other people.
I don't think it's a personal thing. I think it's just the way the Yankees have handled him, and he's just not been
Yeah.
very good. So, look,
No.
I've jokingly called this season "Run It Back 26," and to me, is "Run It Back 26" enough to win a World Series? No, but if Brian Cashman is right about it, and I'm wrong about it, that means the Yankees have won a World Series, and I will be the happiest person on earth.
Absolutely.
So. Run it back to go ahead. Leave
No,
here.
so that's all we want. We want to see W's. And if Anthony Volpe has to be amazing and be on the team for the next 10 years to for us to be amazing, I want that. I don't want him off the team. We just
Oh,
want
what the
W's.
fuck is this? I heard this was gonna happen.
What happened?
They did an update on MLB, the app.
Oh.
So run it back 26, baby. It officially begins this Wednesday night, just 2 days from now, from when you're listening to us on Monday morning. The New York Yankees are going to begin their quest for that elusive 28th World Championship in San Francisco, live and only on Netflix. So that should be a lot of fun. On Wednesday night at 8:05, as Max Fried takes on Logan Webb, and a little special bonus episode. We'll be back here on Thursday for a Friday release, covering everything that happened on opening day. So I'm excited for the season to start. It's been a long winter. It's finally over. The next time that you hear from us, the New York Yankees will actually have played a real meaningful baseball game. And I'm closing the show here. And if you said, well, you haven't mentioned Aaron Judge once, there's an absolutely 100% good reason for that. I don't care anymore. Okay. I'm tired of having the goddamn conversation. If you want to follow, you want my real thoughts on it, go listen to Bronx or Nowhere from Thursday night. It's on NYY Underground on YouTube. You should be subscribed there so you don't miss anything. That game season is going to be starting soon. Designated spitters, Bronx or Nowhere. Make sure you subscribe there. Or you can follow me on X at Christian underscore NYYST, where I plain as day laid out Aaron Judge's postseason history. You can choose to believe it or not if you want to. Facts are facts. Okay. So I still love Aaron Judge. I still believe Aaron Judge will lead the Yankees to where they need to go. I'm not going into the season hating Aaron Judge. I think it's a height of stupidity to sit there and have a negative attitude towards the best player on the team and all the stuff that goes along with it. But I'm tired of talking about it. It's just one of those things that I'm sick of, and you can find my thoughts on those on that topic other places. So we talked about what we needed to talk about here today. So that's that. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast on this podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now, so you don't miss any brand new episodes of the NYYST podcast. Most shows will be dropping Monday mornings at 6 a.m., but we do have a couple different little things popping up throughout the course of the season, including we're going to have a Friday morning show because I always like that off day after opening day, so we can have like a nice show to talk about opening day. And this is the final season, man. So we love to get some love on the way out here. So leave us a 5-star rating and review. And if you're tired of me talking about this, this is the last time I'll bring it up on this show because the limited run is over. The thrill of the fight, 50 years of Rocky, my 10-episode limited run Rocky podcast has run to completion here. Episode 10 was posted on Wednesday night. It's on this very podcast platform. So you want to check that out, subscribe, scroll down, you'll find all 10 episodes. So the season's getting ready to start, Sem. You excited or not?
Of course. Uber excited.
Baseball's back, baby. Run it back 26. We'll see who's right. Hopefully it is Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees front office. But it all begins on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock in San Francisco. So let's go, baby. Let's go, Yankees. Let's get this 28th World Championship. Finally, let's get this monkey off our backs here. Like I said, it all begins Wednesday night. And we love you guys. Thank you for your continued support of the show. Thank you for listening to episode 518. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.